service this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, how you've spoken to our hearts so many times, Lord. And Lord, how you lead us through the day, sometimes almost invisible to our awareness, Lord. You're guiding us and making sure this works out and that works out. As your word says, you work all things together for good to them that love you. And Lord, we're so glad that we can be accounted amongst those that love you. Lord, it's such a privilege to walk with your word, Lord, with your word in us and living through us. And Father, we pray you'll speak to us this morning. Help us, Lord, to take another step. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I really enjoyed the song service today and last time too. And so I appreciate the Lord. And so we're going to keep on the oneness this morning. And you'll notice the subtitle says, 7 days shall we eat unleavened bread. And Brother Branham talked when we're going through here this morning. He's going to talk about how that what that meant to eat the unleavened bread. And it meant, you know, we've talked about leavened bread, and you sisters already know what all that stuff is. And but for you brothers, that, and I think most all your brothers know what it is too. But when you leaven some bread, that's when it makes it rise up and puff up and get big and pretty and all. When it's not leavened, I don't think that happens. And they say with it, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. So it spreads and goes through the whole thing. And so that's what Brother Branham's talking about, or the scripture's talking about, how that during these, and he'll tell us here in a few minutes, how that these 7 days are the church ages. So the time that they're supposed to be eating unleavened bread is through the church ages. And so it's interesting that he uses these bread comparisons so many times. And the whole time that they're eating unleavened bread, they're coming together with the bread. That's the only way they can come together with it, is because it's unleavened. If it's leavened, then you're not being one with God. And so we're going to find out how that was different. The unleavened bread was different in the church ages and at the end, after the church ages. But it's all from the very beginning. God wanted to be one with his creation. That was the very beginning. If he's going to express himself in his creation, that's the only way he can do it. He's not going to be kind of one or partly one, because that's what we see when Satan got in the mix and caused problems. So it's just going to be that oneness is the way God always wanted it and the way he was always going to have it. And as sons and daughters of God, it's the only way we want it. That's the only way we want it. So let's start with this message. We're going to stay mostly in God's only provided place of worship. Now, this message, he preached this message or that title several times. And when he did, every time he preached it, he made it clear that the only place to worship was in Christ. And in so many ways in that message, he tells us what that means to be worshiping in Christ. And so I'll point out things as we go along. All right, so he starts out, he had in his heart, before the foundation of the world, a son. Brother Branham says that God had in his heart a son because he was a father. But it was still in the genes of his word. The son that he had was still in the genes of his word. And he created a man, and he had to put him on free moral agency, but that man failed. So he created that man. He's working towards the one that's in the genes of his word. But the great sculptor God, who made man from the dust of the earth, he didn't settle for that. He started making man again. And he made him Noah, and he died a drunk. He made a Moses that failed to keep his word. He made prophets that run in the time of trouble. God made all these. Right on through, Brother Bram said that Satan had perverted the way that we come into this world, but God was still making people. Amen. He made a Moses, and he made a prophets, and they run in the time of trouble. And he kept building and molding until after a while, he wanted a masterpiece to reflect him. See, that was his son. Now he's coming to that genes of his word that he has been pulling for and pushing and going to bring to pass. Until after a while, he wanted a masterpiece to reflect him. His nature, what was in his heart that a son should be. Brother and sister, we were in that son then. When he expressed that son then, we were in him then. When the genes of his word began to express themselves. Brother Bram, we talked about how that the coming, Brother Bram said there's one great coming. And there's three comings in that great coming. It's all the one coming of Christ. All right. One day, down on Jordan. Now here he is coming to this son that he wants. This whole time he's wanted him. And one day down on Jordan, after that masterpiece had been formed and made here, he come sending down on the wings of the dove. This is him. He was so enthused with his masterpiece. God, he'd been working and working for this masterpiece. He needed this masterpiece. Because it was a lost part now. And he had to have this masterpiece. And he worked and he worked. And Brother Ram says he was enthused. He was so enthused. We know what enthused. He was excited. God was excited that he had it now in creation. He'd had this son that was in his heart was now walking the earth and showing people who he was. He was so enthused with this masterpiece until he struck him on Calvary. He had to have him so he could strike him, that he would die. For the rest of us was imperfect. He was so enthused that he had a solution to this. It wasn't like he didn't think he was going to, but now it was coming to pass. He was enthused about it. He was enthused, excited about his creation. Think about that. What about the masterpiece now, today? Does she excite him? Does she make him happy? Does she? That he would die for the rest of us was imperfect. That through the shedding of his blood, he might bring many masterpieces. That was his goal all the time. Being a bride to his son. Masterpiece is scarred because of the enthusiasm of God. You think about what God done that day. Brother Ram said that he prepared that day with prophet after prophet after prophet bringing this. This was going to happen. That was going to happen. He did it through the mouth of David and different things that was going to take place that day. And now he was so enthused that he was going to bring that word to pass now. God is absolutely involved with his word. It means something. It's absolutely the truth. It's not. Well, we're going to read it here in just a minute. The masterpiece is scarred because the enthusiasm of God to see such a masterpiece. He struck him for us all. See, there he died, so perfect, we who was imperfect, to perfect we who were imperfect. The masterpiece. Notice it here. He said, now he goes right back to the 7 days, shall you eat this unleavened bread? The bread is typed. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And what was the bread in every age? Even though it was unleavened, it wasn't all the word, was it? But we're going to live by all of it. So that was a type in those ages. Not just a word here and there, as denominations would have you believe it. But the word of God is perfect. So now he's telling us where this place of worship is. He's telling us where it was happening in the church ages, where the place of worship was. And now where is the place of worship? But the word of God is perfect. It's God himself in letter form. Think about that. When we take the words into our hearts, these words are, brother, they're God. We're handling God when we touch the words and we accept them in our heart. Sometimes people are so irreverent about them. Sometimes people want to figure them out and educate other people on them and things like that. And that's not where it's at. These are living God. You're giving God to another person when you're talking to them, but when you're living that life before them, it's the living word of God. I don't know how else to say it. Not just a word here and there, as the denominations have you believe it, but the word of God is perfect. It's God himself in letter form called a seed. The word of God is perfect, and it's a seed. And the right kind of unadulterated faith in this word brings that seed to life. What did he say we're going to live by? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's exactly what you see at night in the discernments. He's talking about what you see at night whenever the healings and stuff take place, when he tells them what's going on. That's God's word and faith in God's word, and it's bringing it to pass. And all these other things, because it's a promise that God made. He made this promise to Brother Branham. And now Brother Branham, having been given this faith, given this gift, he puts it in that word, and that's what comes to pass every night, he said. And he stood by me and told me that, and told me that these fakers would rise up. But hold steady, I believe it. And so, and no selfish motive to hurt anybody. Can you imagine that? God telling him, I'm giving you this and this is going to happen, but watch out, there's fakers coming. He's concerned enough about this message to tell him, look, there's going to be these fakers come, but you just hold steady. Can you think about that when he stood on the platform and he had them words in the back of his mind? Those were on his heart and in the back of his mind. When he stood there before those people and he saw, Brother Randy, he said some of them, they'd hug you and turn around and stab you in the back the next minute. God bringing his word to pass is what made him strong. It's what made him stand there like that. I believe it. And no selfish motive to hurt anybody, but to be reverent to God and do the work that he called me to do. That's why I say these things. And God confirms it back and receives the offer and the sacrifice by vindicating it to be the truth. He receives it by proving his word. Amen. No question to it. Now watch that word. Now notice here, 7 days, that's for every church age. Now, as the masterpiece had to die in order to be resurrected to redeem us all. So He's talking about that seed that went down. Then he had a church set in order at Pentecost, but that church had to go through a sacrifice, and the Roman world killed it and put it in the ground. And as this author, I can't think of it now, made so much fun of me and said, of all the devils, it's William Branham. See, that's what the devil tries to think. He said visions and things, and that's of the devil, he said, or he's some kind of a hypnotist, or he's working in supersensory perception. The intellectual world always trying to figure it out. They're not trying to find a place of worship. They're trying to make their own place of worship, like Cain. You see that? Just like Cain went with his own offering instead of having a revelation. And that's exactly what he's pointing out. That's where they tried to figure out Jesus. How do you do these things? What done it? They're asking him. He said, I'll ask you a question. Was the ministry of John the Baptist, was it of God or was it of man? See? And they said, we can't say. And he says, neither can I tell you. That's right. And went on. From henceforth, no man asked him anything. Just cut him off. He didn't tell them nothing about it. None of their business. He had work to do and he finished it. He wasn't interested in anything but faith. You see that? God help us to do the same thing. We don't have to answer the devil's questions. That's right. If thou be so and so, you're responsible for that gospel as a preacher is. And that's all. Not how it's written. It's just responsible for saying it and being it. You don't have to explain it. Now, that doesn't mean what I know people will probably run with that one, but what it means, you don't have to intellectually explain it, is what I'm talking about. Like Brother Bram said, I can't tell you how a cow eats green grass and makes yellow cheese and white milk. You know, he said, I can't explain it, and he don't need to. And as a servant, if you're a prophet, it's an interesting set of words there. If you're a prophet, you're responsible to God. And if the visions that comes, it lightens this scripture and shows what it is. Now, you know who he's talking about. And shows what it is. You're responsible for every word that's in that Bible. If you're a prophet. Because it was all wrote by the same kind of people you are. Isn't that good? God of old, moved by the prophets, wrote the Holy Bible. And no genuine prophet of God could deny one word of it, but believe every word and preach the same. And when God's obligated, and then you believe the word and you preach the same, and God's obligated out of that channel to make that word come to pass just exactly the way it's promised. It's promised when you accept that channel through the prophet. It's promised. God's obligated to that channel. Did I lose you on that one? No genuine prophet of God could deny one word of it, but believe every word and preach the same. And then God's obligated out of that channel, the channel of the prophet, to make the word come to pass just exactly the way it's promised. The seed will grow. So our message is the prophet's message, because that's the message that God gave us in this hour. We don't have one of our own, and there's no room for arguing that this one saw this and that one saw that and all that other bunch of nonsense. I'll venture as far to say is if that's what we're arguing about, then we're just like the ones questioning him on how he did this and how he did that. I'll just be frank with you. I got no time for that. Yeah. This prophet preached the message. I want it in my heart 100%. I don't care what it costs me. And I think
Most everybody in this room has seen what it cost. It costs families. It costs health. It costs just about everything. And I don't care what it costs. I'm convinced it's the truth. And I'm going to stay with it. No matter what it does to this flesh. No matter how many misunderstandings the devil tries to throw amongst us or amongst any of our brothers and sisters anywhere. This has to be first. Above our feelings, above our ideas, above our everything, this has to be first. If not, we're no better than them questioning him about how does he do this and how does he do that. Now notice quickly, we find here that all 7 days that this bread was to be eat through 7 church ages. Now, when it had to die and go into the ground, that's at the beginning of the church age. But when the little sprout of life come forth in the Reformation of Martin Luther, they the just shall live by faith, by blessed kosher, that a priest, I'm sorry, the just shall not live by a blessed kosher that a priest blessed, but by the word of God. The just shall live by faith. It brought 2 sprigs. The corn of wheat began to grow. Then come John Wesley and added to that. There was many others that Zwingli and them come forth and denied the virgin birth, and it just died down. See, they weren't the true. That wasn't where the life was passing through. The life passed through Luther and Wesley. But along come the Methodists, the tassel, the pollen, the missionary day. And they preached sanctification, added the tassel. Then along come the Pentecostals in the shuck. So much to deceive the elected looked like a real grain of wheat. Open it up, that's no wheat at all, but the life's passed through the shuck. Now I want you to think for a minute. If anybody in this message who knows the message would be deceived by somebody with just the speaking in tongues and all that, would that deceive anybody in this message? As much as Brother Branham has said it, it might deceive some, but it ain't as so close that it would deceive the very elected, if it was possible. That's what I'm trying to say. So, that was not all that the Pentecost church had, is what I'm trying to say. So much to deceive the elected looked like a real grain of wheat. Open it up. There's no wheat at all, but the life's passing through the shuck. Now, have you noticed every 3 years after a great meeting, what takes place? Now, he's still talking about where the only place of worship is. He's not left it. Anytime he's talking about these, he's telling you where it's not. And he's going to tell you where it is. Now, have you noticed every 3 years after a great meeting, what takes place? And not only is it the place of worship, that's the place where the union takes place. The union that we've been talking about all this time. Have you noticed every 3 years after a great meeting, what takes place? A denomination. This is 20 years and no denomination. Why? Because it's the prophet on the scene. The prophet is being led by the Spirit. He's not going to sit down. When God moves him, he moves. The pillar of fire is back. Just like when the children of Israel, when the pillar of fire moved, the children of Israel moved. Now the prophet's in here. When God moves, the pillar of fire moves, the prophet moves with it. Always. That's why there was no denomination. It wasn't because there was no word being opened up. It is 20 years and no denomination. Dear dying lamb, may it never do that. And if you go into this generation, may the people who believe this message never stand still for a denomination. Would they recognize it if they saw it? Without a union, they won't. God, you'll die in your track. Remember that. Remember that. The very hour that you mention denomination among you, I don't care how sincere you are. Now he's going to tell you what a denomination is. Take man for your leader instead of the Holy Ghost to confirm this word. That's pretty hard, brother. You don't believe it because Chris told you that. Amen. You don't believe it because Brother Holm told you this one, or Brother Goomba, or Brother Don, or Brother Keenan, or nobody else. Right. You believe it because God puts it in your heart. He might have spoke it through 6 or 8 people. Amen. You don't even believe it just because the prophet said it. You believe it because God showed you who was happening in that prophet and what was taking place. Brother Branham said that Peter saw who Jesus was, not because of what Jesus said to him. Jesus didn't educate him into knowing who he was. It's when God told Peter and showed him the things that were taking place in God and Jesus' life that Peter recognized it. And the minute you say you believe it because this one said it or that one said it, you have started your own denomination. I don't know how anywhere else to say it. Because you moved your faith from God and the Holy Spirit and living by faith over to this other thing. And if you don't think it's so sneaky, you don't think it's no big deal, then look back at the first church age and read about it. It's the same thing that happens in a denomination when they decide to take the creed that some men sat around and picked up and put together. Your faith has to be from God and in God. Paragraph 151. Now, you notice he just keeps right on going back to that 7 days shall you eat no unleavened bread. Over and over through this message, he says it. And he's still talking about the only place of worship. Now, you people that had the old shout Methodist mother and so forth, that you wondered if she didn't speak in tongues, she ain't going to be there. That's a lie. She was that same. Now listen, she was that same Holy Spirit that you have today, but it was in tassel form, not in restoration of gifts. But all 7 days, just eat the unleavened bread, the word. See, all 7 days, just eat what was the bread in that day, the unleavened bread. Them that denominated, they died, their stalk. Them that wasn't following the Spirit to start with, they were following whatever this one said and whatever that one said. And whatever eased their conscience or made them feel like, okay, I have enough God. Them that denominated, they died, their stalk. They'll just be gathered and burned. But the life's going right on through. And what happened? All of the life that was in the stalk, in the tassel, in the shuck, all winds up in the wheat. And the same Holy Ghost that brought Luther, brought Wesley, brought Pentecost, winds up in the bride at the resurrection. Where? At the resurrection is when it winds up in her. Where's the place of worship? Not in the church ages. 7 days, eat unleavened bread. No leaven shall be found amongst the bride. Not one word added. No nothing. Remember, See, that's the only thing that is God. God is that only. Remember what he said about his word at the beginning. That it is God in word form. So if you change it, it's not God anymore. Remember, one word caused every death that's in the earth. By changing one word, it caused every death. Every illegitimate child was born because Eve, the first church, the bride of the first Adam, doubted God's word, accepted the denomination, or intellectual, or a school of exceptions of it, because it was reasoned out. And surely God is a good God. Surely he'll take my reasoning. He didn't take Cain's. He didn't take Eve's. He didn't take nobody else's in the Bible. He don't take our reasoning. The only thing he takes is him. God is a good God. God is a good God, but he's also a just God. We must keep his word. School, she accepted it. There's where some of you seminary boys, no doubt a call in your life. But you run off to some Bible school and have this doctrine injected in you, and there's where you die. Stay with God and his word. They won't let you, or you can't even belong in their congregation, won't accept you on the platform, so let them have it. Let the dead bury the dead. Let's follow Christ, the word. Could you imagine what he went through nearly on a daily basis with letters that was wrote to him and stuff that was going on? Because he wasn't standing out there just amongst a few message churches that would disagree with him or something like that. He was standing out there amongst every denomination. When he went to the businessmen's meeting, they were all there. All the denominations were sitting there, including some Jewish and other people that were sitting there. And he stood there in the midst of all of them, a witness to the truth. I'm sorry, what paragraph was I on? 154. Okay. Now, 7 days, there will be no leaven mixed in the bride. There he goes back to that saint and keeps doing that over and over and over. That must have something very much to do with where the place of worship is. If he keeps going back to that. No leaven mixed in the bride, the church, 7 days. And what did he tell us in future home? That when we go into that eighth day, it has nothing to do with the 7 days. It's not counted with them at all, he said. And there shall be no leaven bread seen in thee in all the coast 7 days. The sacrifice here is a type. The bride coming forth from the sacrifice, which is Christ. She come forth from the sacrifice. The bride comes forth from that atonement. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh that thou sacrificed the first day at evening. They sacrificed it in the evening. But he's saying, don't carry none over from one day to the next. Remember how we just went through the church ages. The messenger to the church always comes just at the dying of the other church. Oh, so now he's getting to the end of them 7 days. The dying of Pentecost brings forth the rapturing of the bride. The dying of the seventh church age brings forth the rapturing of the bride. And while ago, he just told us, what was it he said? The Holy Ghost went through Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost and winds up in the bride at the resurrection. Now he says it's the rapture. Brings forth the rapturing of the bride because the dying of them. Brother Ram said he let it die so that he could do this. The dying of Luther brought forth Wesley. See, the dying of Wesley brought forth Pentecost. The dying of Pentecost brings forth the message now. Bruh, can he say it any more clear than that? He's called it the message now. He's called it the rapturing of the bride. And he's called it winding up in the bride at the resurrection. He's called them all three the same thing. And this is outside of the 7 days of unleavened bread. It's something else altogether. He let that die. And here, and this is the place of worship, brother. And the word of the hour is the place of worship. Here is right here, patterned all through the scripture. What did he say was patterned through the scripture before? He said, if you read one thing in the Bible and you don't see Jesus Christ, go back and read it again. And so now he's talking about this message now, and he's talking about it patterned. It's right here, patterned all through the scripture. There is not a scripture in the Bible, but what hooks right one with the other one. All those types. I have no education, but I have the Holy Spirit that shows me through another channel. Not through reasoning, not through figuring it out. Through another channel that teaches me that from nature. And that's by the word. Has to be the word brings his promise. The sacrifice the first day even remains, back reading the scripture again, remain all night until the morning. Now, even Luther, who had the truth, taught the church that the just shall live by faith. You don't want to hang on to that being the full doctrine in the Methodist age. If you did, you wouldn't see it. See, God moved. What shall you do? Burn it with fire. Burn that with fire, that's the only thing. What was the type of? What was that? What was the type of? The denomination that comes out of that word is a shuck. The stalk, the husk, must be burned with fire. After God's left it, it's burnt with fire. That denominational part that it come through must not remain, got to die. Don't leave it till the breaking of another age. Burn it up. He's talking now to the bride here, just the bride, coming up through every age. She's coming up through every age. And he's talking to her then. Notice how beautiful. The lamb's blood, these are Christ's body, the sacrifice, the lamb's blood on the door. Now, this is very interesting when he starts talking about here. The lamb's blood is on the door. Now, remember, the lamb was slain was a type of Christ. Notice now on this, the lamb was Christ in figurative form. Or did I say that right? Type. Christ was the lamb. He was to be a male, the first from the old mother ewe, whichever way you choose to call it. It must be her first. It's the first baby she had. And he must be tested first to see if there was a blemish on him. Now, Christ was tested, the lamb first from the mother ewe. God making his place to worship. See, and he's typing it in the Old Testament. Now he's showing what really took place from the typing in the Old Testament. And God's making his place of worship. Mary the virgin, and was tested by that. Satan against the word. When he hit Eve, she fell. Hit Moses, he failed. But when he flew up against Christ and tried to quote the scripture to him wrong, he found out that wasn't Moses. And now, you know, he was even sneakier. He quoted the scripture, but then tried to apply it some other place. He says that, you know, if you fall, he'll raise you up. And so he's talking about casting himself down and all this other stuff. So he was trying to interpret the message. Not only does he misread it, but then he tries to misinterpret it too. Found out that wasn't Moses. When he tried that with Jesus. See, he was tested. What he turned around, he said, if thou be the Son of God, now they tell me you perform miracles. And they tell me that the Messiah is to do that. Now, if it is, you're hungry and you haven't eaten, turn these stones into bread and eat. And he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, your creed and so forth, but by what? Every word. So he attacks Satan as trying to take it out of context. Your creed, no, so forth, but by what? Every word, a part of the word. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that's what man lives by. The Lamb was tested to see if there's anywhere he had fallen. He was tested to see where he was standing, tested in every manner, tested like we are tested. But there was no giving in to him at all. See, that's what a son was like. And that's what he was going to have, more sons like that. That was the Son of God. And the Lamb was tested and was kept up for 14 days. That was two Sabbaths or two ages. See how long the Lamb was tested for and when it was slain. One's for the Jews, which they offered the Lamb in type. One's for the Gentile, who has the real Lamb. All of them was made perfect by believing this Lamb would come. All of them was made perfect by believing the Lamb would come. But he was tempted, examined 14 days. He was the Word. And you can examine the Old Testament, say it condemns the New. You're wrong. The Old Testament only bears record of the New. And a man was going to challenge me not long ago and said, what's the matter with him? He even teaches out of the Old Testament. A Christian preacher, think of that, said the Old Testament's dead and gone. Oh no, oh no. It's only a schoolmaster. It shows what's wrote on the wall. All those prophets telling what was going to happen and then it being fulfilled, see. Now see, 14 days it was tested. That was Christ. Now notice when he was killed in the evening time, after those 14 days, should be killed, the Lamb was. Christ died in the evening time, the afternoon. Then notice, then he was also, the blood was to be put on the doorpost. See, that signified life. This blood signified life, which the blood is the life of the animal. Thou shalt eat the flesh thereof, but the blood thereof, which is the life, pour it out. What it was to be, the blood was to be put on the lintel of the doorpost of the house whenever the sacrifice was accepted. Now, he just told you that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster for the New. Now, he's giving you an example of what he's talking about. The blood was to be put on the lintel of the doorpost of the house wherein the sacrifice was accepted. Glory, what is the life? The name. The life is the name. Remember what he said at the beginning of this message. Where I put my name is the place that you'll worship. Go up to the door and you look and see what's names on the door before you ring the bell. See, the blood was put on the lintel of the door as a type of what the sacrifice was on the inside. On the inside of the door. Now, you're going to find the place of worship right through there. Right through that life is where you're going to find your place of worship. Coming through that blood where he put his name. Notice the blood on the door was speaking the name of what was going on inside, on the inside. They were in there. Our place of worship, the Lamb, is the Word. Man. Now, verse 4, notice, leave no bread, leave none of the sacrifice, or take one from one age to another. try to go back and say, well, now we're Lutherans, we want to come up here. You've got to die to the Lutheran age to be born into Wesley. You've got to die in the Wesley to be born into Pentecostal. And you have to die in the Pentecostal age, leaving nothing of it, to go into this rapturing message, the message of the hour, the resurrection. You have to die to Pentecostal. Leave nothing of it. Burn it with fire, because it's going to be burnt like the stalk that the wheat comes up out of. The stalk, the denomination, it's got to be burned. So don't bring your denomination over in the new message. This is the word now. I thought it was the word before that. It's a different kind. It's all the word now. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And who was here? That was the mouth of God, the prophet. Brother Rem said, when the prophet comes on the scene, God is fixing to speak. That's what denominated the stalk. It carried it. That's right. But it come over into here when the stalk died. Come over into this message when the stalk died. It was a carrier, the domination, but the word goes right on. Yeah, the word goes right on. It hasn't been going on since then. Brother Brown, I just don't believe it stopped. Amen. Now take the fifth and the sixth verse. Now, let's take the fifth and sixth verse. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now listen to what he says about these gates. Now remember, not in any of these gates. The Lord permits you to have these denominations, see, these gates. But at the place which the Lord God shall choose to place his name. And he didn't put his name in those gates.
That's right.
Put his name over where he said, there over the doorway. That's the gate, the only place. Not many these gates, but God has a gate. And you say every morning, it's not a church, brother. It's not a church. It ain't four walls.
Amen.
Every man, and it ain't a man either.
Right.
Let me say that real clear. It's in every son and daughter of God.
Right.
And the only man that is placed in would be Jesus Christ. Every morning I enter the Methodist gate. That's the church. Every morning I'm going into the Catholic gate. Uh-huh. Well, the Lord let his people go in and out of them gates. But God's got people in the church, Catholic church, Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, all of them, Pentecostals, sure. But you don't worship the Lord in that gate. You go to that church, but you don't worship the God. You don't worship God in that church. I'm not talking about singing and all that. You know what I'm talking about. This is a spiritual thing that is happening. But the Lord has a certain gate, glory. He has a gate, but at the place where the Lord thy God chose to place his name, there shall thou sacrifice the Passover at the evening, at the end of the 14 days, at the end of the Jews, at the end of the Gentiles.
Amen.
He told us a while ago. What did Isaac, Rebecca, when did, now he goes to that Passover and he says it's at the evening time is when that sacrifice is made. At the end of those 2 weeks, when did Rebecca find Isaac? When did Eliezer call her to be the bride? It was the evening time. He said it was put up until the evening time. It shall be light about the evening time. He's singing this song. The evening lights have come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one. That was the beginning of it. That was the beginning of it. God and Christ one. Now she's faded into the bride light. See what I mean? Brother and sister, He wasn't talking about Paul's message. He's talking about far more than that. So a few nights later, he preaches this message. Modern events are made clear by prophecy. We've got to have the gospel preached in its fullness, with the power of God to vindicate that according to the promise of that age, and prove that that's exactly God's will. He'll prove it. That if it's His will, He'll prove it. Outside of that, you're just a church member. No matter how much you try to do God a service. You might go to the Stitch and Sew party. You might be ever so faithful to church. But unless that germ of eternal life was foreordained in you to be a son or daughter of God, you'll grow up a deformed something, but never be a real true son or daughter of God. See how important Revelation. Brother Branham never, ever, ever even hinted at changing how important Revelation was and how that we should pray for that more than anything. And when a man or woman has set under creeds cold form of religion, if he's ordained to be a son of God and sees the word of God preached in its power and God vindicated, he's an eagle to begin with. He'll run to it as sure as two twos is four. He can't help it because his very nature loves the word of God. That other William Branham in there, that other Katrina, that other Brother Michael. That's what loves God. I don't care. That's why you'll grow up a church member if there's not that other one down in there. And we're so happy that we didn't grow up a church member and be deformed. I don't care what anybody else says. When he sees that word of God made manifest, he flies to it because he was a little eagle. Because it's ordained to happen. As they go on to say, he said, "Mama, how am I going to get up here? And he said, "Just make a jump. I'll catch you." And that's the only thing you have to do is make one jump to your feet, one jump to God, one promise. "Lord Jesus, I believe you with all my heart." And how has this taken place? Because God drew you with the word. He just said it. You respond to that call. "Lord Jesus, I believe you with all my heart. I believe the message of the hour. I see it confirmed. And now it's right." You see it confirmed. Not waiting for it to be confirmed. You see it confirmed. "And now it's right. Jump to your feet. Mama will catch you. Don't worry. You're an eagle. She'll be right there to get you." Now we realize that we're living in a tremendous time. A great time. Brother Bram said that Paul wanted to see this day and all these others wanted to see this day. If Paul wanted to see this day has a message. And Paul wanted to see that message. He didn't have this message. But when the truths of this Bible, believers have seen that vindicated. The very vindication of it is the evidence that God is in it. Absolutely. It's then that the promised word that God promised is made known. That's when it happens. Right there in that individual, every time. Absolutely. It's then that that promised word that God promised, that predestination, is made known, and the seed is bursted forth, and they see it and they believe it. Amen. I cannot be happier than that to be counted there. See, that seed didn't burst forth back there, but it burst forth here, brother and sister. And the fruit, Brother Bram said, is ripening that fruit. So I don't know if I could. If I preached another 100 messages, if I'd ever have to change the title. Because what I've seen It was oneness at the beginning. It was oneness all the way through. And it's oneness now. It's God making himself known. Even when he had to do it in part, the part was being used to make the whole. And it's just wonderful to see it open like that. And I appreciate y'all putting up with all my blubbering. And let's stand and let's sing. Let's sing that song he was singing over there a while ago. It shall be light about the evening time. Let's sing that a couple times. Michael, you got one you want to say? Okay.